Our message is entitled today, The Will of Satan. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with us, if you will, this morning to the first prison epistle. Look, if you will, for just the next few moments with us, at the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter number 6, Lord willing, today we want to be able to focus primarily on verses 10 and 11. Paul writing to this church at Ephesus while being incarcerated. Ephesians is the first of the prison epistles. Paul was going through much in way of difficulty. Satan was implementing his will, desiring to cause problems and hardship in the life of the Apostle Paul. Satan today has an agenda. Satan today has a will. Satan today is trying to bring you to an all-time low. Satan is doing all that he can to cause you pain, discomfort as you walk down life's way. He has an itinerary, and you're a part of that itinerary. And Satan has a desire to bring you to a place of lowliness, to bring you a place of hardship, a place of depression. He'll do all that he can to bring you down. That's his will. That is his will. Now, we think a lot about the will of God. We talk a lot about the will of God. But, dear friends, Satan has a will as well. His will is today to bring you hardship, to cause you pain, and to cause you suffering. When I think about the Apostle Paul being imprisoned, I think about all that must have been on his heart and all that went through his mind, how that he no doubt, had a desire to be among his friends, those that he loved and cared so deeply for. Yet the will of the adversary had taken refuge in the situation that Paul found himself in. When I began to look here at the Word of God, the Holy Spirit led us here to this passage of Scripture that we feel led to read today. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verses 10 and 11, you will find that the Lord has a desire to fill His Spirit believers. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When we looked here at this passage and we began to look very closely at verses 10 and 11 of Ephesians chapter 6, the Holy Spirit began to speak to our heart about the condition of the Apostle Paul and the agenda that Satan had on the people who follow Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, you can rest assured of this, that if the devil can hinder you, he will hinder you. If the devil can cause suffering in your life, you can rest assured that he most certainly will. You say, why, Brother Lynn, do I face such hardship? Why does the woes of life seem to descend down upon me? Dear friends, the old adversary of the devil has a desire to hold you back, to tear you down, and to suppress your witness for Jesus Christ. He and he alone has a desire to rob you of the joy and peace that a child of God can have from following their Lord Jesus Christ. We say that to say this, dear friends. If you're hindered today and you're spiritually oppressed today, you can know without a doubt that Satan is implementing his will in your life and trying to bring a heaviness on your heart. But we today declare to you the Word of God, and the Word of God encourages us and helps us and blesses us to be able to overcome the things that plague us and hinder us in such a mighty way. Paul knew the strength. Paul knew the power came from his Almighty God. And we today want to share with you that devil, the old devil, and his will can be held at bay through the power and the might of God. We ask you today, dear friends, if you're heavy laden with the things of Satan, look to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. He will bless you. He will help you. He will strengthen you. He will make you to be the person that God would have you to be. Satan's will is being unleashed on the world that's around us. You say, Brother Lynn, when did that begin? Did it begin in the dispensation of grace? No. The will of Satan had been implemented there for a long time, going all the way back to the book of Genesis. If you will look at Genesis chapter number 3, you will find there in the Garden of Eden that the old adversary beguiled Eve. He had his will being inflicted on the life of Eve. And when I look there at this word, the Holy Spirit begin to remind me of this temptation. How that he lied and how that he deceived. How that he had a desire not only to tear Eve down, but to wreak havoc in the life of Adam. Well, the same holds true in our world today. If he can affect you, he can take that affection and use it to bring hardship upon others. The sin that we sometimes find ourselves in has a murdered effect on those as around us. It spreads and it brings problems and hardships to one and to all. That's the will of Satan, to tear you down, to drag you down, and to bring a sense of hardship to your life. Oh, when I looked here, when we looked here at this passage and we thought about Eve and we thought about her being beguiled by the evil one, we thought about how that he did that, how that he manipulated her and used her to bring manipulation to Adam. How did he do that? He lied to her. He lies to us. He is the father of lies. Jesus said in John chapter 8, I tell you today, friends, you may not think about it, but Satan has a will for you. That will is one of hardship. That will is one of oppression. That will is one that causes pain. It causes suffering. You may be suffering today. You may be in spiritual pain today. You may have had a terrible week. The things around you may have seemed to fall apart. And though you've strived to do all that you can do, the attacks seem to be relentless. I tell you today, friends, friends. Be strong in the might of the Lord and allow God Almighty to bless you and, praise God, help you. Allow God. Allow God to bless. Allow God to help. Satan has a will, and Satan has a word. Has a word. Oh, yes. Oh, you say, Brother Lynn, the Holy Spirit speaks my heart. Oh, yes, he does. But Satan talks to you too. He says a lot as you walk down this pathway of life. He will convince you. He will try to manipulate you in every way that he can. You say, how does he do that? He does it through lies. He does it through deception. He does it through everything that he possibly can conjure up to bring about the downfall of you. You and those around you. You remember in the book of Job? Job, what a book. What a book. When you looked at the book of Job, and you look at chapter 1, and you look at verse 11, I want you to take heed to this. Satan is having dialogue with God. Satan says, put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to the face. That was his word. That was Satan's word. Satan said, hey, God, he'll curse you to your face. How was Satan going to get Job to curse God? What he was going to do was to manipulate, to lead and guide and direct one that was very close to Job. If you will look at Job chapter 2 and you look at verse number 9, what did Job's wife say? She said, curse God and die. Satan's word, and he said to God, had infiltrated the heart of Job's wife, and his word and his will was implemented there in the word of God. And she said, curse God and die. Oh, I'm telling you today, dear friends, Satan has a will, and Satan's will is to cause problems in your life and all the lives that's around you. But you know what I'm thankful for? Oh, I'm thankful for old Job. You know why? Old Job, he stood strong. And the power, the might of God. Oh, I tell you today, my church family, let us stand strong in the might and in the power of God. And we'll be able to stand the onward attacks from the adversary. Let us know that Satan has a will, he has a word, and he has an agenda. He's trying today, as he did yesterday, to tear us down. But my prayer is today for you and I to be able to look to Jesus Christ, who is and forever will be our present help in time of trouble. It's not that I need God every now and again. I need him every day of my life, because I know that the old adversary has a desire to tear me down and to tear you down and to bring problems and hardship to your life. If Satan can rob you of happiness, he will. If Satan can manipulate your mind, he will. If Satan can convince you that following God is a sham, he will. But I want you to know something today, dear friend, through by the power and the might of a living, breathing, spiritual, loving God, the Lord will bless you. And praise God, He'll help you to thwart the wiles of the devil and the will of the evil one that's coming on you each and every day of our lives. You might say, well, Brother Lynn, devil ain't bothering me. Well, praise be to God. Praise God. Whew. That's shouting ground. If the devil ain't attacking you, praise the Lord. Because look out. Look out. You say, why? Because He will. You can rest assured of this. He will. I thought about it much this past week in which we lived. And we thought about how that Satan had a desire to manipulate, had a desire to stir, had a desire to cause me pain and suffering. And he had some effect to a degree. And I tell you, I like you. And the Apostle Paul had to do something. We had to look to God. We had to pray to God. We had to turn it over to God and allow the Lord to do a work in our lives. I tell you today, friend, we are to stay the course. We're to keep the faith and to know that the Lord God Almighty has a desire to bless us and praise God. Help us to manipulate all the wiles and the will of Satan. Ain't it time to turn the tables on him? Ain't it time to have your way instead of his way? Your way and to look to God and to press toward the mark of the high call and not allow the adversary to wreak havoc in your heart day in and day out. Is that hard to do? Yes, it's hard to do. I thought about a man in the Scriptures, a man who walked with Christ, a man who was close to Christ. He walked with Him. He talked with Him. Hung out with Him. Eat with Him. Spent a lot of time with Him. His name was Peter. When you look at old Peter, and you look at Matthew 16. You know what he did? He rebuked the Lord. Yeah. Satan's will had infiltrated his heart and manipulated his mind. And the Bible tells us in chapter 16 of the Gospel of Matthew that old Peter took him and rebuked him. And what did Jesus do? Jesus said to him in verse 23 of Matthew 16, He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Oh, dear friends, I want you to know that there are those that are walking very close to our Lord that's being attacked. I don't care how close you are, no matter how close your stance may be, Satan will do all that he can to implement his will in your life. He attacks me. He attacks you. He attacked Peter. He attacked Job. Here old Paul is in this old grungy prison there writing the letter to the Ephesian church. He's attacking him. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? We don't think about the will of the devil. We don't think about his will. We don't think about his word. We don't think about his agenda. We don't think about any of these things. I've told you this before. Back in the 70s, there was an old comedian called Flip Wilson. He used to say, "The devil made me do it." Oh, dear friends, rest assured of this. The devil don't make you do anything. He will tempt you. He will try you. But it is us that falls victim him to his will. Us. Oh, Peter was close. He was close. He saw the miracles of the breaking of the bread. He seen how that the storms had been stilled. Oh, Peter was close. But the will of the adversary slipped in. You may be here today, and the will of the adversary has slipped in and has taken control of your heart and your thoughts, and you've had a terrible week because of the manipulation and the lies of Satan. I tell you today, draw a line in the spiritual sand and turn it over to God. Today. Today. The will of Satan. It's real. Oh, it's real. Dear friends, it's very real. I thought about it a great deal this past week. You remember what Peter said? The one who rebuked the Lord, the one whom the Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5. There in verse number 8, what did he say? He said this. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He has a desire to devour you today, has a desire to harm you today, has a desire to bring all types of pain and suffering to your heart. But pray. Praise be to God for the love of an almighty God that enables us to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. You study that word wiles. You study it in the Greek and in the Hebrew. It means deception and trickery. Deception and trickery. Satan wants to trick you as he beguiled Eve. Satan wants to manipulate you. He wants to cause you pain. He wants to cause you suffering. You say, "Brother, in the degree where I've laid down," no, to the degree where your light's not shining for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're more concerned and you're more worried about things around you than you are the cause of Christ, you can rest assured that the implement plan of Satan is in action in your life. It happens to me. You ever get consumed about something? Yeah. Well, it seems to be on your mind all the time. Sure, we all do. We may not think that much about it. We may not. But you see, Satan does. He knows what buttons to push on old Lynn, just as he knows what buttons to push on Kyle. Just as he knows the buttons to push on Bob and Donnie and Connie. He knows. He knows. And if he can do that thing in his subtle fashion, you can rest assured he will. You say, "Why does he do that?" To rob you of the joy and the companionship and the relationship and your witness with God. That's what he does. That's what he does. I don't belong to him. I belong to the Heavenly Father. He can't take me, but he can cause me pain. If you know Christ, he can't take you either. But he can cause you a lot of grief. Some of us may be coming in here this morning with a lot of baggage that Satan has just implemented a little bit of grief. Paul, in this wonderful letter to the Ephesian church, he said, "Finally, my brethren." Now listen, if you study the book of Ephesians, you will find that Paul's talking to them in the heavenlies. It's a lot like the book of Joshua. It's not about church doctrine. What it is, it's about the people of faith being lifted up, being exalted. What Paul is saying is that the Lord God Almighty wants to exalt you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to encourage you. He wants to bless you. And now, here in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse number 10, Paul says, "Finally." He's bringing it to a close. Because he know that those Ephesian believers, as it is with believers today, the will of the evil one is wreaking havoc in many lives. And Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not in your strength, not in my strength, but in his strength. That's why the Bible teaches us that when I'm weak, through him, praise God, I'm strong. Oh, I think about that a great deal. You say, why? Because God, the Lord, whom we love and who we serve, has a desire to bless us and to equip us in this evil day. And it is an evil day. A very evil day. And I looked the word and I thought about something here. When Paul is bringing the conclusion to this epistle, this little letter, there in verse number 11, he said this, put on the whole armor of God. You know what that means? You read on down through chapter 6 and it lists the articles of armor. The illustration is the Roman centurion's armor. Now, you might say, well, Brother Lynn, you're wearing a suit. I was wearing a suit. I'm not wearing a suit right now. That suit's not complete. You know why that suit's not complete? Because I don't have the jacket. I don't have the coat. See, a lot of people says, oh, I've got the armor of God. They may be wearing the breastplate, their shoes, their feet may be shod, but I tell you, their helmet may be in the closet. It may be laying around. What did the word say? Put on the whole armor of God. And now that I put on my coat, I've got my tie in place. I tell you, I've got it all on. Let us today put it all on for the glory of God. Not some of it, but praise God, all of it. Many of the Ephesians, here in the book of Ephesians, many of them, like you, had been to the armory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he equipped them with all that they needed to be able to stand in that day. But you and me and they many times will take off a piece or two. Many times we will lay it to the side and think all is well. Rest assured of this, if you lay your armor down, you're subject to the attacks of Satan. God would have us to be prepared. God would have us to be ready. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wile of the devil. Oh, that means something. That means something that's very endearing. That means something that we can apply to our lives each and every day. The attacks are going to come, whether you're armed or where you ain't, whether you're equipped or whether you're not. But I can tell you today, if you will stay the course and keep the faith and apply the Word of God to your life, you and I can hold Satan at bay. It ain't I hope I can. It ain't maybe I can. Praise be to God, it's a sure thing. I know I can. I know. How did David go up against Goliath with a sling and 5 smooth stones? Because he was complete. Because he was complete. You say, Brother Lynn, do I need to be complete? Yes, you need to be complete. We all need to be complete because I believe, my friend, in these last days, as the perilous times has come upon us, if it was every day when Satan is turning up the heat, it's the day, the time in which it is that we live. Peter knew it. Paul knew it. Adam and Eve knew it. Job knew it. We all know it. But I want to tell you something. John the Revelator tells us in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 20, in verse number 10, he says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone." Now notice here what John said. He said, the devil that deceived. It wasn't that he might. It wasn't that he was trying. The one that deceived. That's all of us. That's all of us. He's doing all that he can to hurt you, to pain you. And if he has his way, he'll say, well, it ain't going to hurt nothing. It ain't going to affect anybody. Well, listen, when you're consumed by the things of life and the wiles and the trickery and the deception and the deceitfulness of Satan is having its way in your life, how many opportunities are we missing to be a blessing to others? Why? Because we're so consumed with self. Kathy, I've been there. I've done that. Satan today is saying to these blood-bought believers, I can't do anything about their soul. I can't do anything about their salvation. But I can do something about the way they conduct their life. So we ask you today, are we mindful of the will and the ways of Satan? Now remember, 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary is like what? A roaring lion. Stealthy. Crafty. Listen. He's on the prowl. He may be in the spiritual high weeds as we speak looking at you. You say, well, he ain't bothering me. Well, he might have you right where he wants you before you ever get home today. How? You've heard this. These kids have said it many, many times. The space between our ears is the devil's playground. It most certainly is. Satan wants to attack your mind. He wants to have his way. But listen, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on that whole armor of God that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil in that evil day. My prayer is today, dear friends, that we are aware, keenly aware, that Satan has a will. And his will is to drag you down. If you're here today and you're drugged down, if you're here today and you're hindered tremendously, we're here to declare to you that Jesus Christ is and forever will be the way, the truth, and the life. Let's stand to our feet.